Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's going on, everybody? Matt Derry with you as we plate this dish on a Tuesday, September 27th, into Wednesday, September 28th. Lions sitting at 1-2. They get a bye week this week. They're playing the Bears in Chicago. Excuse me, a little Jim Rome impersonation. Lions at the Bears Sunday at Soldier Field. We'll get into that in a big transaction for the Bears today. We'll let you know about that coming up. You can tweet to us at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks. Hit me up on the Facebook page, the Matt Derry fan page on Facebook. Like the page if you want. Follow us on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes and audioboom.com when you're listening right here on Locked On Lions, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday, an off day for the Lions. I'll be back at practice tomorrow, gearing up for the Bears. In a game they should win, all right? There's no excuse if you can't go into Chicago and knock off the Bears. And we're going to talk to Bears sideline reporter Zach Zaidman on Thursday. But Zach will tell you, and he's not going to pull any punches, and really anybody that covers the Bears or is surrounded by the Bears in Chicago will tell you that the Bears are flat awful. They're terrible. And not only are they young and really kind of rebuilding in their second year under John Fox, but they're extremely banged up. Jeremy Langford's now their starting running back. It's going to be out a long period of time. Jay Cutler is iffy for Sunday. Pernell McPhee, Lamar Houston, the list goes on and on of players that they've lost on the defensive side of the ball. Really not just this year, but last year as well. They gave up 31 points to Dak Prescott on Sunday night, a rookie quarterback in Dallas, and lost 31-17. The Bears have given up 83 points per game the first three games. Only defense worse in the NFC North, that's right, your Detroit Lions, who have given up 85. But yet, point differential for the Bears through three games, a minus 38. The Lions must, M-U-S-T, must win that football game Sunday in Chicago against the Bears. Where I wanted to start today, you know, a lot of you are going to say, well, you know what negative thing is Derry going to say today? Or is he going to blast a staffer today? Or Caldwell again? Or is he going to talk about how bad the defense is? No. I happened to last night, not only was I watching my Cleveland Indians on Monday night take home the AL Central Division crown, order restored in the AL Central as the Tribe wins it for the 8th time, most of any team. And not only was I watching that and basking in the glow of that fine action down at Comerica Park last night, and I was checking out the debate, of course, as everybody else was, as that's comedy and entertainment. But I also flipped over to ESPN and caught a little bit of Sean McDonough, John Gruden, and the Falcons and Saints for Monday Night Football. Or as Frank Gifford used to call it, Monday Night Football. I used to have this bit on 105.1. I would always complain about guys on the radio, especially some sportscasters who would say D, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Isn't D-A-Y day? Frank Gifford, when he called Monday Night Football, used to say on the intro, ABC's Monday Night Football. I would sit there with my dad, and my dad would say, Matt, it's Monday, not D, right? And I always remember that. Anyway, Monday Night Football last night saw the Falcons beat the Saints 45-32, and it got me thinking about the Lions and fans' perception of where this team is headed this season. For you driving home or you driving to work on Wednesday morning, I know what you're thinking. How can you possibly spin anything positively after the last two games in which the Lions got torched by a struggling offense at Green Bay and the week before handed a bad Tennessee Titans football team, a bad Tennessee Titans football team who's 1-2 and their only win came against the Lions, a win after leading by 12 going into the fourth quarter? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Okay, right now, the Carson Wentz-led Philadelphia Eagles have the best record in the NFC, along with the Vikings. And yes, I think what the Vikings have done with their culture, with general manager Rick Spielman, head coach Mike Zimmer, now been there a couple of years, the defense, Everson Griffin, Harrison Smith, the guys that fly around in that defense, that's a very good defense, a very good team, and they have got an identity of being hard-nosed and tough. And they look to me like the best team so far in the NFC. And that's even without Teddy Jam for me, Bridgewater, and Adrian Peterson. That's impressive. So to sit here and tell you that I think the Lions are going to somehow beat the Vikings twice this year and win the division, no, I'm not going to go there. But here's where I will go. For all the struggles that the Lions have had, especially on the defensive side of the ball, whether it's losing Ziggy Ansah, losing DeAndre Levy, losing Antoine Williams, an up-and-coming linebacker, not having Josh Bynes, not really having very good play at the strong safety position at all. The pass rush has been disappointing. Those are a lot of different things when you look at the Lions so far, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not ready to write off this season and say it's the single worst performance in season that this team has. Yes, am I very aware that the Lions' best defensive player is named Kerry Hyder through three games? Yes, well aware of that. Am I aware that this team gave up 39 points to Andrew Luck, 34 points to Aaron Rodgers? Sure. But tell me, did anybody check out that vaunted, tough, what are we going to do against the Arizona Cardinal defense? Give up over 30 points to the Buffalo Bills last week? Anybody check that out? Last night's Monday Night Football game saw the Atlanta Falcons give up 32 points and yet win 45-32. The Falcons defense has given up 91 points this year. There are 2-1. You know, Carolina is going to bounce back, okay? They're going to bounce back. I think Arizona will as well. But boy, oh boy, the NFC is wide open. Wide open. And I might be repeating myself from a couple of weeks ago, but I just don't see the Lions being out of the woods and the season being over. I'm not calling for a playoff spot. I'm not saying that this is a playoff team, but I'm not saying that 1-2 fans should just lay down and quit and that there's no hope. The reason there's hope might not be because the Lions are very good or very deep right now. But I think there's hope because the quarterback is playing good football. I think the offense can score some points. I know they did it in garbage time last week, and that was classic. Stat Padford on Sunday when they were down 31-3. Time to throw the trick bag out the window and just chuck and duck and put up numbers. But they were in that game. It was a one-possession game, and they needed a third-down stop to get the ball back in the fourth quarter. But I look up and I see Carson Wentz and the Eagles at 3-0. The Giants at 2-1. Dallas with the rookie quarterback at 2-1. Washington, they're no good. But they won last week. The Bears, we know, are bad. Did the Packers just maul the Lions to the point where the Lions couldn't be on the field with Green Bay Sunday? Green Bay handled them pretty well in the first half at Lambeau. But the Lions were right in that game in the fourth quarter. Outside of Carolina in the NFC South, are the Falcons, Bucks, or Saints any world beaters? No, New Orleans is terrible. They haven't been able to stop anybody in years. I'm not so sure they couldn't stop Noah Stamps Freeman and the U of D Jesuit High Cubs offense. All right, NFC West. Oh, the Rams. Oh, the Rams are 2-1. They're red hot. Their quarterback is Case Keenum. Their coach is Jeff Fisher, and they have a minus 17 point differential. That's a first place team? So maybe I'm a little crazy. Maybe I'm nuts. But I'm not ready to call this Lions season over after three games and say there's no hope. If they don't make the playoffs, should they fire everybody and get rid of Bob? No. They're not going to get rid of Bob Quinn, the maestro. But I do think fans should take a peek at what's going on. I do believe that's something that I'm a little bit skeptical of this fan base right now that they even care. I think and fans I've talked to and a lot of tweets that I've gotten from you guys and people that interact with me on Facebook as well, the express, the train, the Kool-Aid mobile, the cornbread wagon, whatever you want to call it for the Lions, it's pretty empty right now. I think a lot of you are turned off by this coaching staff, especially the head coach himself and Jim Caldwell. I can see that. But I'm telling you, look around the NFC. Nobody's playing defense. We know the Vikings are. But that's a, I don't see any other great defense. Seattle? Seattle is. Seattle and Minnesota are playing defense. We know that. Speaking of defense, you want to know more about your defense and who to start for fantasy football this weekend? Check out Locked On Fantasy right here on the podcast, Locked On Podcast Network with Vinny Iyer. Check that out. And also Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. Those guys do great shows. Check that stuff out on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, so back to the Lions again. And Chicago Sunday, of course, it's the Leos and the Bears. And yes, in fact, this is just vintage and typical Lions, right? I figured last week, once the Lions lost Amir Abdullah for an extended period of time, that there was going to be a Joik Bell sighting back in Allen Park. Instead, today, he tweeted out, "Bear down." That's right, the pride of Wayne State. Hey, did you know Joik Bell used to be a security guard at Ford Field? Little old bit siren for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Joik Bell is signed with the Chicago Bears. So the Lions are going to see good old number 35 on Sunday when they take on the Bears at Soldier Field. How crazy is that? So with an injury to Jeremy Langford, and he's got a bad ankle injury, Jordan Howard, the former Indiana Hoosier, a fifth-round pick, has been getting more touches anyway. Not saying they're souring on Langford, but Howard's gotten a lot of looks over the last couple of weeks. Joik Bell has been signed for depth for the Bears at running back. Would that just be an SOL classic Sunday if Joik Bell ran over to Tahir Whitehead and a few of the Lions linebackers and galloped his way into the end zone and did the hip-hop array, hey-ho chant and dance as he was in the end zone? You hope not. But congratulations to one of the good guys in the sport. One of the better guys in the community of Detroit, Joik Bell, getting another chance. He has signed a contract today with the Chicago Bears. So the Lions will see the Bears on Sunday. So again, a little off day. I just wanted to touch on this a little bit. I'm not ready to write this team off based on the way other teams are playing in the NFC defensively. And I think there's a ton of parity, man. This is exactly what Pete Rozelle wanted and Tagliabue wanted and now Roger Goodell has. And that is parity all around the NFC. Man, Jim Schwartz's defense has only given up 27 points the first three games. Philly's balling. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Handshake's D's getting it done. But other than that, boy, Minnesota, Seattle, and Philly, they're defending. But the rest of these teams, throw them all in a hat. Yeah, I know. Carolina will be back. They'll be back. Seattle's really good, too. But to sit here and say, oh, there's no reason to watch this team. It's just a year of observation, like Darius said on the podcast. And blah. No, not at all. Have you looked at the Lions' schedule after Sunday? They're not exactly lining up world beaters here at home. Let's say they go to Chicago and get it done, and they finish 2-2 for their first quarter of the season, as Jim Caldwell likes to put it. Then you're home against the Eagles. Yes, Carson Wentz is playing very well, but that's a rookie quarterback. Home against the Rams. That's Case Keenum. Home against the Redskins, where Kirk Cousins is throwing interception after interception. At the Texans, they go 3-1 there. It's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Oh, the road game in Houston, that's so difficult, is it? Anybody seen Brock Osweiler play so far? So I wanted to throw that out to you guys today. Another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tomorrow we'll have a special guest, local, and Thursday, Zach Zaidman from the Bears Radio Network will join us to preview Chicago. That's another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. See you.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.